Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is a podcast and it is called Do Go On. You're listening to my voice. I am Dave Warnicki and I am here with Matt Stewart. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am going well and we are joined by another person. I should have asked how you are as well, but we've already been talking off air for about 20 minutes. We're going to get on.
Hang on. Ask me.
How are you, Matt?
We don't have time for that, Dave.
Sorry.
Jess Perkins is also in the house.
Hello, Jess.
Hello. I'm well. I'm just going to cut straight to it. I'm well.
You're well. Good.
Yep.
Good. Do you reckon the listeners are really sick of our... this is lucky number 13 episode, and people are already pretty sick of the preamble that we like to throw in at the start. Well, we ask each other in a roundabout way how we are, and we're always either well or good. That's the only two options.
I would also like to point out that you always introduce Matt first.
I've noticed that too.
I've got into a habit of doing it that way. If you'd like to be introduced first next time...
No, it's okay. And look, it's clockwise for you, and also... Matt is closer to you where you're sitting.
I just thought it was the way that he recruited us to the podcast.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it too. I was the last addition. I was the missing piece of the puzzle.
You were,
really.
That's right. We became superhuman when we added
before I was here, it was shit.
It was.
That's why those episodes will never...
they'll never see the light of day.
But then Jess came on board and was like, oh, wow, award winning? Yes, please.
Well, technically, we haven't been nominated or won any. In fact, I don't even know if podcasts in Australia can win awards.
The potties.
Can podcasts win awards at all?
But if they can.
Are there podcast awards?
Sure, there are.
I'm starting them.
All right.
I'm starting them and we're getting one for sure.
And then we're going to do an episode on them.
We could. We totally could. And when you say do an episode, you mean if you haven't listened to the show before, that is when we take it in turns to research a topic and report back to the other two about that topic, and it is my turn this week.
Yeah.
And you guys don't know what I'm going to talk about.
No.
Yeah, what do
we
you
never
got?
Know what you're going to do, Dave.
Is there any possibility that I could bring up a topic, tell you what it is, and then you would veto it straight away and say, no, you can't talk about that?
I feel like the death one was pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
Is this
we all enjoyed like that, didn't we, a few weeks ago?
Yeah, in the
I did,
end.
Actually,
I mean, a lot of that I've tried to block out of my memory.
Yeah, my therapist and I are working our way through it, but apart from that...
I hope we haven't lost all our listeners too because of that. Or now we're just listened to by morticians and undertakers exclusively.
They would hate us because we did nothing but bag them in their professions.
Yeah.
You anus-packing fucks.
Well, they don't get paid enough. I can totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Oh, Sorry, I'm very conscious of my swearing. I better stop because I know...
Well,
there are mothers listening.
It's funny that you are conscious of your swearing on this episode.
Is it really?
Oh, kind of. Well, hold on.
Could it be?
Don't.
The history of swear words.
Don't let that influence you too much when I ask you a question, because we always start the episode with a question to do with said topic to lead us in.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, who or whose face do you think is the most reproduced human image since
human.
Jesus Christ?
The Mona Lisa.
Homer Simpson
and the Mona
Mickey,
Lisa.
Mickey, oh, human.
Human, I know. But is Homer is a human. Does he have to be a real human?
What about
Elvis?
What about, what do you call
the
it
queen.
When an animal
the queen.
Has been...
It's the queen!
Oh,
yes.
Oh my God, Dave, queen. Fuck you! I wanted to do this topic!
Oh, really? Did you actually?
Yeah, it's on my list of potential topics.
Matt, have you also considered this topic?
Never.
That's brilliant!
Matt's sitting there thinking, I hate the queen, I'm very anti-royal.
Yeah.
By the way, the Queen, her face has graced billions of stamps, coins, and banknotes. So
and
that's why.
Legit, I have a little list on my phone of like, as ideas come up, I write them down for like future topics. And one of them, and I was nearly going to do it last week. I was nearly going to do Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth II is who we are talking
that
about.
That is amazing. That's the first time this has happened.
This is amazing, isn't it? Are you a fan?
I like her. I think she's sassy. She's cool.
She's cool. She hip. She with it.
She's a pretty cool lady. I was watching a documentary on her and she's pretty, yeah, she's pretty savvy. I quite like her.
Savvy.
So that's a yes from Jess. How about you, Matt? Are you into her?
Well, I got no problem with her as a person. I've got some sort of a problem with the fact that she's born into the role of supreme leader.
Oh,
of
big time. Yeah.
Our country and others.
Oh, but that's really messed up. But I like her.
Yeah.
She's not as bad as some supreme leaders around the world in terms of...
Yeah, what, are we going to rank them all? Sure. All right, let's do it, Dave. you kick us off.
Kim Jong-il, number one bad guy.
Number one bad guy.
Oh, okay.
Living. Can you dictate the topsies badness?
Then we've got Queen Elizabeth II to be number two. It's in her name.
Oh, okay.
Number three.
Some sort of Saudi king.
Oh, one of them Saudi kings.
Mm-hmm. All right. Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah, he is definitely
supreme
leader. Is he a Saudi king?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
That's how he's so powerful. How do you think we know who he is? Come on, Matt.
I don't know who he is, obviously, but...
Well, Matt, I'm going to try and win you over with the life of Queen Elizabeth II, and maybe you too will appreciate... Because I also, when I was growing up, if you'd asked me, I would have said, no royalty, we don't need that. Why don't we become a republic? But having grown up a little bit, read into her a bit more, I feel like she's won me over a little bit.
Okay.
She's brainwashed me, if you will.
So you'd vote no to on a republic vote?
Well, maybe I'll ask you that at the end of the show.
Oh, okay, you reckon you can convince us? These are the things I know about her. Early life, she was she had a small role in the King's Speech. She was in that, right? She's the daughter of the guy with the stutter, right?
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry, I think you meant...
So she was in that a little bit.
As an actress. Yeah, no, she was in the original King's Speech
as a character,
in the
1930s. Her character was in it.
Yes.
She did the Nazi salute that came...
Oh, accidentally.
It's no accident. She did it on purpose. She just didn't realise...
Yeah, like in the 1930s before Hitler was that well-known to be...
Before it was that bad. Before Hitler was that bad. He's bloody monarchist. And a Nazi sympathiser. What else you got, Dave?
Come on, you can't paint that on me. What I meant was the Second World War had not begun yet.
Still think we should bring back slavery, Dave?
Well, yeah, of course.
Davery.
What are you talking about?
That's when you're a slave to Dave.
Other things Davery. I know about her.
Slave to the dance floor is what I am.
She's the longest serving queen, I believe.
Yes, this is true.
All right, look, right now I don't.
How about you just let Dave tell us the facts? Matt, shut your hairy mouth.
Got about 3,000 words of facts to get through. All right, I'm going to take you back. Elizabeth Alexandra Mary was born on the 21st of April, 1926. It was a good year for births. Other people born in that year include Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, isn't that weird to think about?
Yeah, but he's the same age. Hugh Hefner.
Oh.
David Attenborough. Miles Davis. And most notably for my own existence, my grandmother.
Oh, my God. Seriously, Dave, fuck you. Because I was going to do Queen Elizabeth and mention that she is the same age as my grandfather,
really?
Eddie.
Eddie. Who is turning 90 in 2016.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. This is so weird because I was really excited to do this topic. So, like, while I'm really happy for you, I'm also very annoyed.
You know how you could get back at him?
How can I get back at him?
You could, next week, you could do Elizabeth I. That'd show him.
Elizabeth
I.
That'd show him.
Yeah. She's sucked in, fuckhead.
Elizabeth I.
You can do the sequel.
And she's the same age as my great grandfather. When she was born, this is Elizabeth.
Not your grandmother.
Not my grandmother. Her grandfather was King George V, who was on the throne at the time. Her father was Prince...
Played by Dumbledore in
the film.
The King's Speech.
Her father was Prince Albert, the Duke of York, who later became George VI in the King's Speech film. And her mother was Elizabeth, Duchess of York, who later became Queen Elizabeth, and even later, Elizabeth the Queen Mother. Remember the Queen Mum?
Right,
yeah,
so she was
cool.
Queen Elizabeth, but not Queen Elizabeth I.
No.
Yeah, right. So she's just another Queen Elizabeth.
So she's just Queen Elizabeth because her husband became king.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's a lesser queen.
Yeah, and then when her daughter became queen, she had to be called the Queen Mother so it wasn't confusing.
That's interesting.
It is pretty interesting.
So there could be more Queen Elizabeths, but why not just have a second name for, like, King Wife or something? And then there's no sort of confusion when
you... King Wife. Or Supreme Princess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Head Princess or something.
Junior Vice President of Princess is...
Yeah.
Elizabeth is the great-great-granddaughter of Queen Victoria. And because Queen Victoria...
Who was left-handed.
Oh, very good. Left-handed. And her husband, who was also her first cousin, Prince Albert.
Albert. And you know, just around our studio here, there are... streets Victoria and Albert Street.
Oh.
Either side that you come in on.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact. That's a cold, hard
You've
fact.
You've also just told the listeners where we are.
Yeah, can you
somewhere between Victoria and Albert Street. Together, they had... This is Victoria and Albert. They had 9 children that married royalty across Europe.
And they're also cousins.
And first cousins. The first cousins. Not just like vaguely first cousins. Aww. But so they got 9 kids that married royalty across Europe. So because of that, Queen Elizabeth II is related to nearly all of the kings and queens across Europe. So her cousins include King Harald V, King of Norway, Queen Margrethe II of Denmark, King Juan Carlos, who recently abdicated the Spanish throne, King Carl Gustav XVI of Sweden, and Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And others.
At least, like, so she's related of the 9 kids, they kind of spread their seed a little further.
So much.
Than just even the cousins.
Second and third cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, baby steps.
Speaking of baby steps, Elizabeth was born via cesarean section as she stepped out of the womb.
Stepped out.
And
red carpet event.
That's right. When she was young.
That wasn't carpet, Jeff.
When Elizabeth was young, have you ever heard this before? Her family called her Lilibet. Lilibet. Because that's what she called herself when she was young. She couldn't say Elizabeth.
That's so cute.
So funny that she would become the queen that we all Lilibet. Know and respect, Matt.
Well, no. Lilibet. We all know her.
Her only sibling was Margaret, who was born in 1930. So there's 4 years difference between them, Princess Margaret. And they were educated at home under the supervision of Marion Crawford, who Princess Margaret called Crawfy. I love that.
Oh, Crawfy.
Oh, Crawfy.
And, you know, can you imagine Crawfy trying to tell her off for calling her Crawfy?
Don't call me Crawfy.
Like, you can't. She's a princess. You can't tell her off.
Well, when I looked into Crawfy's background, so she was like being their supervisor over their education, but she wasn't a teacher at all. Rather, that while studying to become a child psychologist, she just got a summer job as the governess of Lord Elgin's children. And that's... Elizabeth's mother, the Duchess of York, was a distant relative of Lord Elgin. So he just said, oh, this bird is looking after my kids, doing a pretty good job. So she just gets a royal job, like, out of her summer job. And she stayed there until 1948.
Do you reckon that would have paid well?
I reckon you could probably get good benefits. You'd live on the grounds. And
it'd be quite demanding, though, I imagine.
Oh, demanding. It would be demanding. Not demanding, but demanding.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
You just came very English. You and Lord Elgin.
I've been hanging out with too many South Australians.
They had a bunch of different teachers coming in and out, including some native French speakers, who taught Elizabeth French, correct.
Oh, French. Oh,
I nearly got a match.
Spanish.
Crawfy.
Indonesian. Buck, buck, yeah. Lucky, lucky.
Bukala, buku, bukumu.
Okay, well, mine was actually Indonesian.
Mine was too. I did 2 years of Indonesian. High school, so
I did a term. So.
Did you guys actually do it?
Yeah, we taught Indonesian. At my
was
school.
That actually Indonesian? What yeah. you both just said?
Salamat
I
pagi.
Was about to jump in with a racist impression of what I thought Indonesian sounded like, because I thought that's what you were doing, and I thought we'll edit all of this out. We've all had a go. We've all got the racism out. We'll move on with the show.
Racism but is okay like in groups.
You were all just saying Indonesian.
Only
word.
You were being racist there, Dave. As it turns out.
Well, I didn't say it, so sue me. Don't sue me. Speaking of being sued, Crawfy later published a book about Elizabeth as a child without permission from the royal family, and they were pissed.
Ooh.
Quote, the first note of displeasure for Crawford came when she failed to receive a Christmas card from the royal family in the year of publication.
Ooh.
So,
owie.
Although in the old days, kings and queens could like chop your head off, but now in the modern times...
Take you off the Christmas card
if
list.
If you're off the Christmas card list, you know you hate it.
You're
that
done.
Is that is funny, because that is like it's a like a bit of a joke. Or a cliche when people say, well, they're off their Christmas card list. But apparently that was a real threat at some point.
And when Crawfy died in 1988, neither the Queen Mother, nor Princess Margaret sent a wreath to her funeral.
Oh, brutal.
Now that is the ultimate.
They sent like bouquets of flowers and other things, but no wreath. No, and that was a real kick in the teeth.
Yeah, they attended the funeral and paid for it. For the
and
wreath.
They publicly mourned for her, but no wreath.
But Crawfy's book described the young future queen's love of horses and dogs, her orderliness, her attitude of responsibility.
Oh, yeah, that is scandalous. No wonder they were pissed.
They were pissed off. Winston Churchill described Elizabeth, when she was 2 years old, as quite a character. She has an air of authority and reflectiveness. I'm sure Churchill said it correctly.
You've got to do that in the Churchill voice, please.
Could you, Matt, you're the king of English accents, and we've been requested that you do more of them. Wait. So just say, she has an air of authority in the Churchill accent, please.
She has an air of authority.
That's pretty good. See, the trick there was, that wasn't actually Matt. We had a recording of Churchill
that was
saying
that. That was the actual recording.
Yeah.
Well, you cut that in later, I assume.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, huh?
That's great.
In 19-
That's going to make me sound really smart. That's great. I need this.
You need this. In 1937, when she was 11 years old, the first Buckingham Palace Company was formed to allow the Princess Elizabeth to be a girl guide.
Oh, my goodness.
So they made their own private girl guides. They were made up of other royals and children of royal staff, and there were 20 girl guides just hanging around all sort of palling up.
That is the cutest thing ever. She's like, Daddy, I'd very much like to try the girl guides.
How is that cute?
And then so they just make her one.
It's so
that's
good.
Not
but
cute.
Matt,
oh, I mean, that's only cute to you because you're from the affluent East. Anyone else would say that that is over the top and that their resources should be used for better things.
What about this, Matt?
Send them to the girl guides and make them learn some lessons from the real world.
It's just not safe.
But
out there for a queen.
You would think that being a future queen, she would demand to be top the in the girl guides. But no, Matt, she is very diplomatic. Princess Elizabeth was actually elected second of the Kingfisher Patrol with a slightly older cousin, Patricia Mountbatten, as her patrol leader.
Well, that's fair enough. Her older cousin got to older cousin.
Yeah, but her older cousin's not a goddamn princess.
Yeah, but the princess thing, that's the point. It doesn't mean anything.
No, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean anything to her. She let the older cousin have
a go. No, it doesn't mean anything to anyone. She just happened to be born. No. Like, her sister Margaret was born 4 years later. If Elizabeth died for some reason as a child, which the royals tend to do because of the inbreeding, then all of a sudden Margaret would have been the queen for 50 years. But instead, Margaret's just some idiot no one really knows anything about, apart from she has a beehive haircut and she's like away
Margaret's
in the forest somewhere.
Margaret's had quite a life.
She's had a life, but she's not on a single coin.
Yeah, because she's been dead for a long time.
That is pretty funny. Was it inbreeding related?
Well, she died about 15 years back. Anyway.
I wasn't laughing at her dying. I was laughing at Matt's
brutal
face. It's like
Matt,
pretty much ate his own beard then. Just
what,
like, oh.
You were, while you were going off on your little rant there, my next line written here is, so she's a young royal who's having as normal a childhood as she royally can. She's trying to have a go.
Setting up a private
Kingfisher.
Kingfisher Girl Guides group is,
I think, it's adorable.
It is adorable.
I'm also imagining her as like a cartoon character. So as a child, she's just always wearing a little crown. She's always got a little tiara on. I don't know why. Little cute.
Come on, Matt. That's beautiful.
That's so cute. Little girl running around with a little tiara on just all the time.
A small pretentious.
And not even dress up. She's just got one.
Yeah, no, you're right. Fair enough.
That's good. Exactly. She doesn't need to dress up. She is the damn princess. But during her grandfather's reign, Elizabeth was actually third in line to the succession of the throne, behind her uncle Edward, Prince of Wales, and her
Guy
father,
Pierce,
who was the king's second son.
Colin Firth.
Yeah, because Guy Pearce dropped it. He only had it. Are you going to go into that?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go into that. So it was a big story when she was born. People were pretty happy for a princess to come along. But no one really ever expected her to become a queen because her uncle Edward was young and healthy. Plus, if her parents had ever had a son, she'd be pushed back further down the chain. So they were thinking, if they have a son, she'll be fourth. But when her grandfather George V died in 1936, her uncle Edward VII became the king.
Guy Pearce.
However, only months into his reign, he caused a constitutional crisis when he proposed marriage to Wallis Simpson, who was an American socialite who had divorced her first husband and was seeking a divorce from her second husband.
You know Wallace. Why it was controversial? Because she wasn't a blood relative.
I'm afraid Wallis Simpson is not your second cousin at all, Edward. But it was controversial, Matt, because as the British monarch, as king, he was also the head of the Church of England, which back then did not allow divorced people to remarry if their ex-spouses were still alive.
Ah, right.
So it was widely believed that...
So wait, you could get divorced, but then you both just had to live separately and be miserable.
Yes, correct, of course.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why
no, of course it doesn't.
Separate from the Catholics in the first place to have divorce to then not be able to get on with your life anyway? Well, just stay in your miserable marriages.
Well, Henry VIII killed his wife, so he was able to because he kept chopping.
But he killed two wives, two of six.
But isn't that was the big reason for the split, right?
Oh, yes.
He annulled some of them, which is different from a divorce, and then others.
Yeah, so he wrote things like, she was plotting against the king, I've got to cut chop of her head, or it wasn't a proper marriage, stuff like that. Yeah, he always found loopholes.
Yeah.
But it was widely believed that Edward could not marry Wallis Simpson and remain on the throne because it would look super hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So he put his cards on and they thought that, if we say that to him, he'll just back away. But he put his cards on the table, and in order to marry Simpson, he abdicated the throne in December 1936, so less than a year after being king. And people speculated that she was marrying him for money, but they remained married until his death 35 years later. Yeah, so they showed everyone.
I was going to ask, did they actually? Oh, that's quite nice. Good for them.
Good for them.
In a way. Her name's Wallace, though. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yes,
there's
some
great Wallaces over time.
William Wallace and Gromit. Danny Wallace, the English comedian.
Name me another female
Terry
Wallace.
Terry Wallace. AFL coach, another female Wallace.
Ooh.
Terry Wallace's wife.
Mrs. Wallace.
Mrs. Wallace.
Well played. Yeah, exactly. Wallace.
There's got to be some.
No other Wallaces. Walleye?
Sorry, Jess. There's no Walleye. So, Elizabeth's father, Albert, became...
Tweet in.
Tweet in with your Wallaces.
With your favourite top 10 Wallaces, what we want. We want a BuzzFeed article.
I think we'd be really good on commercial radio.
Tweet in.
Text in now with
your favourite
Wallace.
So Elizabeth's father, Albert, had to step in and become king in his brother's place.
Bertie, they called him.
And he chose the Regnal name. Have you heard that word before?
Regnal.
R-E-G-N-A-L. It just means his king name or reign name. George VI to try and win over the public because he's like, no, I'm like my dad.
And Albert, yes, it wasn't as cool.
That is interesting to do that because, yeah, that often, that did, I think that was pretty common for a while, but not really anymore, right?
Well, there's only been one royal since.
Yeah, fair call.
But popes, did you say popes take different names?
Sixth?
George VI.
Sixth.
Why, what do you think I was saying?
I thought you said sixth. I don't know, a lot of people say sixth, but it always sounds really weird to me. Sixth. It's an interesting
What would
word.
You say?
I say sixth. But I know plenty sixth. Of people say sixth, and a lot of like English people sixth. Seem to say sixth.
I don't really hear. Are you hearing the difference here?
Yes.
What's go one and then the other?
Six. Sixth.
Oh, so George the Sixth.
No, sixth. Sixth. He said it wrong that time.
Sixth.
Sixth or sixth? Sixth. Six. Leaving out the X sound.
Or so six.
Or Sith, like Sith Lord from Star Wars. Is that what you're trying to do?
Or
Sith. George the Sith.
Six?
George the Sith.
Six.
Anyway, I say sixth, you say sixth, Jess says sixth. There's no weirdos here in the room.
But I reckon if you go to the tape, the first time I think you said sixth.
I think you may have.
That's definitely possible.
And it's okay, we still love and accept you.
I just find that interesting, because I reckon there's heaps
of... Well, maybe.
I don't even know if one's wrong, because I've heard a lot of smart people, smarter than me, say sixth. So I figure that maybe that's an acceptable...
Well, maybe I was just trying to draw attention to the king's speech impediment, which was, as of course, discussed in the film.
Mm-hmm.
George VI was the first head of the newly created... That was right, wasn't it?
Oh, fuck, who cares?
George the Sixth was the first head of the newly created Commonwealth. And Commonwealth. 1936 became known as the Year of Three Kings. And just 10 years old, Elizabeth became the heir to the throne. So she is next, baby.
That's pretty scary, to be 10.
At 10 years old.
I already feel bad enough for bloody Prince William. You know? It's not far off for him.
He's into it. He's too off. I mean, go up here, show that you don't have to. You don't have to take it.
True, good point. But then, you know,
he definitely will. He does all everything by the book.
In Will's case, wouldn't he be handing that off to his son?
Yeah, but Charles is in. Charles is next.
Yeah,
in,
Charles
right?
is next. But Charles is getting old. But I reckon Charles would take it, obviously, to have his moment in the spotlight, but also to give Will more time, just to be a normal person with his fam. I reckon Charles is just a big old family man.
You reckon? You reckon Will's being a normal person at the moment?
Yeah, I do. Yep. I think he's just spending his down to earth and he's just spending time raising his young family.
Who are you people?
Young family.
It's so weird. This is, I can't believe any of this exists. Still, it feels like we're, like, this is going to seem ridiculous to people in 100 years that this was a thing.
Podcast? This yeah, great.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true.
Well, we've got 60 years to get through. During World War II, to keep safe from the bombing raids, Elizabeth and Margaret spent most of their time in Windsor Castle, which is about 35 kilometres...
It's a pub just on Chapel Street.
It's a good pub.
No, it's 35 kilometres west of London. That's so, yeah, so they could stay safe. Then in February 1945, she joined, this is Elizabeth, the Women's Auxiliary Territorial Service, which is the women's branch of the British Army at the time.
Ooh,
she trained as
Lady
a driver.
Army.
That's right, Matt. She trained as a driver and mechanic and was promoted to honorary junior commander 5 months later. What do you think about that?
Well, I think honorary equals bullshit.
Well, I've seen a photo of her tinkering with an engine.
They give the honorary things to famous people who want to. They're coming in as a tourist to a real people job. Or study at a university, and they go, oh, you're an honorary, because you're Ringo Starr, you're an honorary philosophy doctor or whatever, philosophy doctor. I'm a smart guy, but they're the kind of things that happen.
They do.
And that's a fact.
Well, Ringo's done some good stuff, man. So you were trying to bring Ringo down.
What would you like an honorary doctorate in?
Whatever the Queen had, the mechanic, yeah. the lady army
lady
mechanics.
Army.
I'd like a doctorate in PE.
Okay.
Because I was always rubbish at it at school. I'd just like to go back to my high school PE teacher and be like, I'm a fucking doctor of basketball, you fuck.
I was going to say,
and then I'd throw a basketball
and
in his dunk, face. And he'd
miss. And you'd miss because you don't know how to throw a basketball.
And then I'd say, I don't give a fuck, I'm a king. Well, technically not, I'm a doctor, but...
Still good.
Still pretty
good.
Still honorary. I'm on the honor roll at made-up university. But after World War II, after all this, Matt, in 1947, Princess Lilibet, I can't say her name either, went on her first overseas tour, accompanying her parents through Southern Africa.
Ooh.
Pretty good. Then we get to her marriage. Do you know her husband's name?
Marriage.
Philip.
Is and what he... brings us together.
It is Philip.
Phil.
And wasn't he like a Greek prince or something?
That's right. Well, he's now 94 years old.
Sorry. Greek?
Oh, yes. Prince Philip, who was the prince of Greece and Denmark when he was born. Greece and Denmark through his family ties.
So he was already a prince.
Yeah, he was born in
Greece.
Before
being her prince. Charming.
So he was born in Greece.
What a love story.
I don't think anyone's ever called him charming. That guy.
Or Greek. Oh,
well, you say he's not charming. Now he's 94 years old. He's the oldest ever male member of the British royal family.
Huh.
So he's doing well. But he was born as the Prince of Greece and Denmark, born in Greece.
What?
But his family was exiled from the country when he was still an infant, so that's why he doesn't sound Greek. So he was educated in France, Germany, and the UK, and joined the British Royal Navy for real, Matt, not honorary, but actually, in 1939 at the age of 18.
But he's Greek.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's not Greek.
Well, he's related to Queen Victoria as well.
So he's... Oh, but he's Greek. I sound like I hate Greek.
Yeah,
so I certainly
problem.
Don't know. I just don't... He just doesn't look Greek.
What does a Greek look like?
I don't know. Please move on.
Philip met Elizabeth for the first time at a cousin's wedding in 1934 when she was aged just 8 years old.
Ooh.
They crossed paths.
How old was he?
He's 4 years older, so 12.
Oh, okay.
They're both children.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, he was 23, yeah.
They crossed paths again in 1937 and then again in July 1939. And Elizabeth, then only 13 years old, fell in love with Philip and they began to exchange letters.
Oh, don't ever make that noise ever again.
I had to hear it back on the headphones. And I'll have to hear it back when I edit it. The couple became secretly engaged 7 years later, so she really held out for him, in 1946, when Philip asked George VI for his daughter's hand in marriage. The king granted his request, providing that any formal engagement was delayed until Elizabeth was 21 years old the following April. Aww. So they kept it under wraps for a bit. The engagement was announced in July 1947 publicly, and then they got married in Westminster Abbey in November of that year, which is not enough time for people to buy a present.
Or to really plan a wedding.
No, 4 months. Well, they did receive over 2,500 wedding presents from around the world.
So you say it's not enough time to buy a present, yeah, but it seems like it was plenty of time.
And they got 10,000 telegrams of congratulations.
That's too many. You can't read all those. How long did that take you? Remember after my 21st, having to like go through all the presents, write down what so-and-so got me? Bloody hell, what an effort. And I only got like 10 presents.
Did you write it down so you could like rank your friends on how generous they were?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
You were saying, so he was already a prince, but before the marriage, Philip renounced his Greek and Danish titles, converted from Greek Orthodoxy to Anglicanism, and then the king bestowed the new title of the Duke of Edinburgh upon him the day before they got married. But imagine if he'd renounced being a prince. She gets cold feet or dies or something. They have to call the wedding off, and he's left with no prince titles. Imagine the horror, Matt.
So oh, that would be the worst. Horror. Oh, boy. What do you do?
I like that you're like, she gets cold feet or dies.
Could have happened.
Hey, you know what? It can happen to any of us at any time. Mm-hmm. Life is fleeting.
Look at Princess Margaret.
Take advantage. Well, I can't. She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead.
Jessica.
I hope they stuffed her full.
Oh, David.
But because the wedding was only a couple of years after the Second World War, clothing was still being rationed at the time, so Elizabeth still had to purchase the material using ration coupons.
Yeah, I read that recently. I like that. She's cool. She's not like, ain't no queen getting married in rags.
Yeah, that's right. I'm getting married in silk that I've bought with ration coupons.
Yeah.
Matt?
And do you reckon she's continued to live her life that way?
Yeah,
you
know, well, I reckon she
has. There's a lot of poverty in her commonwealth.
She?
Commonwealth. And she lives in a castle, one of many castles that she owns.
Well, she did her own makeup for the wedding. Pretty good.
Yeah,
I would not be doing my own makeup for a wedding.
No peasant would do that.
I don't do my own makeup for
I brought a knife
series.
To a gunfight, Dave, and I got shot.
That's right. Every war has a few casualties, and you were one of them, Matt.
Sorry, Matt.
A lot of royalty from around the world attended the wedding, but post-war Britain, it was not acceptable for the Duke of Edinburgh's, this is Philip's, German relations to be invited to the wedding, including Philip's 3 surviving sisters who married German princes, 2 of whom fought for the Nazis. There it is. A reference to the Nazis ticked.
Now all we need to get in is Tism and The Simpsons, which I think we talked about The Simpsons at the start, so we've got Tism Simpson. It is. Come on, Matt, you can do it. Not right now. It can be any moment. Don't force it.
All right, great.
So at first I was like, okay, really unfair that he can't invite his own sisters to his wedding. And it's like, married to German princes? Yeah, but that's that fun. Doesn't mean fought for Nazis. Okay, well, yeah, maybe we could just catch up at Christmas.
Yeah, okay, yeah. See you in a couple of years.
Yeah,
and when was
Wait
this?
Wait till this all blows over.
Hmm. What year is this?
This is a couple of years after
Because remember what Dave did say earlier that the Nazis, they weren't that bad, I think you said. So just to according to David, depending on when it was, the Nazis did a lot of good stuff.
This is 47.
I think he said.
Is this not peak bad Nazi time?
This is after bad Nazi time.
Oh, so it's after.
Yeah, Hitler died in 1945, everyone.
Oh, well then, so they're good again? Are the Nazis good now?
Definitely not.
Would you describe yourself as some sort of a new or neo-type Nazi?
Definitely not.
No? Getting some real mixed messages from Dave.
Me too.
Matt, you know what I meant, and that was it wasn't as worldly known how bad the regime was going to become when, as a child, she did the Hitler salute.
Yeah. They weren't that bad yet, yeah. Matt.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Elizabeth gave birth to her first child, Prince Charles, on November the 14th, 1948, when she was just 22. There you go. And her second child, Princess...
Mary.
Anne.
She had four kids, right?
That's right.
Have you said that already?
Princess Mary's the Dutch.
Two girls, two boys?
Dutch? No, three boys. Three
girls, one boy. Three boys, one girl.
Three boys, one girl.
All right, let's see if we can do them.
How many?
Charles. Anne.
Yes, that's good.
Why can't I picture them?
One more prince.
They all kind of look like Charles, right? They all got that.
Why is Charles the main event?
He's the oldest.
He's the heir to the throne.
That's all.
I guess that makes sense.
And he married Diana, which was... And she was a superstar.
She was...
the people loved her. The Battler's Princess.
Edward, so Charles and Edward.
Andrew. Prince Andrew, that is right.
Well done, of course.
But that's not for a little bit, because we're going to get through the 50s.
He was an accident.
During 1951, George the Sixth, S-I-X...
No,
or V1. I'm going to call him...
didn't do the accent.
I'm going to do George V1. His health declined, and Elizabeth frequently stood in for him at public events. So she's training up to be the queen. When he's not well, she's doing all the public stuff.
Snot well?
Yes. Her secretary started carrying a draft accession in case he passed on when she was away. So the paperwork that she'd have to fill out if her dad died. Which was lucky because in 1952, Elizabeth and Philip set out for a tour of Australia and New Zealand. And on the way, they stopped off at Kenya, as one does.
On the way.
Tell me Philip didn't say anything to anyone.
Oh, it's fine. He probably did, but I don't have that written down.
Thank God.
On the 6th of February, 1952... They had just returned to their Sagana Lodge after a night spent at the exclusive Treetops Hotel for a bit of a drink and a canapé, when word arrived...
PSA, you don't know that.
I don't know that at all. When word arrived of the death of the king...
There won't be
the
a wreath
king,
at Dave's funeral now. He's
I'm off the Christmas card
list. School. Yep.
Well, I'm so sorry, Queenie. But word arrived of the death of the king, George V1, which meant... Elizabeth would immediately become the queen. Philip heard the news first and he took her aside and let her know, which I think is a very nice thing to do.
Well, yeah, Dave.
What, he let her know?
He let her know her dad died.
Yeah, and he did it in a very sensitive way.
Yeah.
Won't hear a bad word about that, Prince of Denmark and Greece.
How were you expecting him to do it?
She could have found out another way.
Write it on his fist and punch her in the arm?
They play a charades guessing game. Your, oh, my dad is, oh, something, dead. My dad is dead, yes. Oh shit. No, my turn.
I just like that it's like, well, you know, her husband told her. Yeah.
Which I think that was the right thing to do, Jess.
He would. If I had a partner who found out that my parent had died and didn't tell me.
Well, you know how you are with that kind of news, you know?
Yeah.
Would have made you all emotional.
It would ruin the whole safari.
Yeah, we were having a nice time. We had those drinks. We had those canapes.
That's right. She chose to keep the name Elizabeth because she could have had a regnal name. And she immediately returned to the United Kingdom and moved straight into Buckingham Palace.
So, like, did they have time to change the sheets?
Yeah, they took him out in the sheets. They rolled him up.
I've got a quote here. This is another touching, moving moment to melt your heart, Matt. The legendary hunter. Oh, that's not a good start because you're an animal guy. But the legendary hunter. <An animal.
laughs> And by animal guy, do you just mean vegetarian?
Well, no, we've talked about it on previous episodes. Anyway, the legendary hunter, Jim Corbett, who did a lot of killing of animals, but he also hunted man-eating tigers and leopards, ones that were attacking people in India.
He hunted
man. He was also staying at the lodge at the time, and he wrote this in the lodge's visitor's logbook. For the first time in history of the world, a young girl climbed into a tree one day, a princess, and after having what she described as her most thrilling experience, she climbed down from the tree the next day, a queen. God bless her.
Sounds like something somebody would say about Beyonce.
That should be the foreword of my book. I love that.
That is really good. I like how he stressed that it was of the world, not just in history of like the universe or, you know,
that's right.
Outer space or something.
He's a realistic man.
Yeah.
She was queen at just 25 years old.
No.
Like you guys.
I know, we're 25.
I've done nothing.
I'm not a queen.
Can't even keep my room clean.
She didn't do anything either.
Oh, good point. Okay.
She was just born.
Matt, come on.
She hasn't achieved anything. She just stayed alive long enough.
It's an awful lot of responsibility.
55 more years to
you
win you
could
you
have
over.
Done that if someone said, you're queen now. You'd be like, all right.
Have you seen the...
That's a very good impression of me.
Have you seen the Princess Diaries?
Because that's exactly what happens. Have I seen the Princess Diaries?
No, I haven't.
Have you not seen it? Oh, Matt, this lady rocks up and says, hey... You're the heir to my throne.
And is it Mary Poppins plays that
Julie
lady?
Julie Andrews.
Sorry.
And Anne Hathaway.
I do get confused sometimes. When I listen back to the Back to the Future episode, I did a couple of times refer to Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly. The actor Marty McFly. Oh boy.
It's an easy mistake. The Queen's coronation was held, that's when she becomes Queen, the ceremony, on the 2nd of June 1953, which is...
Do you appreciate the mansplain there? He didn't look at me when he said that.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I know when a lady got given a big crown and some jewels. Well, of course I know, I'm a woman.
Do you know coronet is French for crown, and that is where the word coronation comes from.
What about corona, though?
That is also crown in Spanish.
Huh.
Oh, look, I'm saying these like they're definitely facts. I do not know that either of those are true. And that is a fact.
Well, you backed it up with a fact.
I made a really sexist joke before, and I just want to point out that I was just kidding.
What was your joke?
Yeah, that'd be right. You didn't even hear me. I said, of course I know the day that a woman got given like jewels and things, because of course I would know that because I'm a woman. But
oh, I didn't hear you say that because I thought it was just backing on from you talking about how you, of course, you watched The Princess Diaries.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes more sense. I was just worried that I'd come across as a sexist prick and, you know.
No, I think...
Well, Matt's accused me of being a neo-Nazi on this episode, so I think it's all right.
Yeah, good point.
Well, I didn't accuse him,
worse.
I posed a question.
And it was a valid one.
Yeah,
a very lawyer-like way. I put it to you, Mr. Warnocky.
I watched Making a Murderer recently.
I've just started. Shut up, don't say anything.
Okay, good.
Well, I've started rewatching The X-Files. I'm not talking about it. If you want to talk about it, that'd be really good. The Queen's coronation was held in June 1953, which, if you're a timeline person, you like to write out the timeline while you listen. That's 1 year and 4 months after the death of her father. Mm. Took a long time so the Commonwealth could have a time of mourning.
But they planned the wedding in 4 months.
I know, but they needed a year. They announced the coronation 1 year beforehand.
So in trivia, which you're involved in a bit, and this question would come up sometimes... When someone says, when did Queen Elizabeth II become Queen, do you say...
It was from 1952.
It is from 52.
From the South African... I mean,
but the coronation is just making it official.
Yes, I'm... Yeah.
53, talking about... That's my dad's birth year. There you go. Fact. That's a cold, hard fact. I guess. Like, I wasn't there.
That's pretty cold, hard.
Well, you guys got to talk about your nanas.
Hey, no, I, w- wasn't. It was good, mate. Yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
Good on ya.
There was a massive parade. Massive parade for the coronation, including 10,000 service personnel marching.
I'll give the feel of a...
Oh, good.
You continue. Da, da, da,
da, da, 3 million spectators gathered in the streets of London. Can you do the sound of 3 million people, please?
The majority of what you're doing is physical.
It totally is. Some people
visual, even. Physical. I mean, everything's
yelling.
Physical.
Some people camped overnight just to get a good spot. Others having access to specially built stands and scaffolding along the route. There you go. The event was televised.
Taxpayers' money.
It was the first televised coronation and also the only one so far. Oh. And it was the world's first major international event to be broadcast on TV. More than 20 million viewers around the world watched the coverage, which at the time is a lot because you know that famous good evening and welcome to television in Australia?
Yeah.
That was 1956, so this is 3 years before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it's really odd.
Did you know about that bit of footage? That's not even the original
one. That's him reenacting it.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
It's not that funny.
It's hilarious, Jess. Think about it.
Perhaps, but not funny.
I don't think it's quite kicked in yet. When you get it later tonight, you are going to piss yourself.
Watch out, Blanner. Elizabeth's coronation gown. She's a man of the Commonwealth. And I say man because I stuffed up. She is a woman of the Commonwealth because her gown was embroidered on her instructions with the floral emblems of Commonwealth countries. She had English Tudor rose, Scots thistle, Welsh leek, Irish shamrock, Australian wattle, probably heard of that one, Canadian maple leaf, New Zealand silver fern, South African protea, lotus flowers for India and Ceylon, which is later called Sri Lanka, and Pakistan's wheat, cotton and jute. I don't know why they get 3, but they do.
Matt, come on. That's really nice.
She's covered in flowers for you, man.
She's a woman of the people.
Yeah, also a man of the people.
Where are the flowers?
All over her gown.
All over her gown.
She smells terrible.
No, actually.
They wouldn't go together at all.
Also, it's the actual flowers. Okay, so.
No, did you say they were embroidered?
Oh, embroidered. Floral
so
emblems, pardon me.
They're pictures of flowers. Pictures.
No, I think...
They're probably scratch and sniff, though, aren't they?
Oh, no, yeah, definitely.
That does help the poor people throughout the Commonwealth.
He's all about Ceylon. Animals and poor people, isn't he?
Yeah, come on, Matt. Have a bit of fun. She's put on a fucking cool costume. Jesus.
I'm all about
a bit
poor...
of fun. That's so good.
Matt, if you ever choose to get married, I've got a great plan for you. To pay for your wedding.
Oh, great.
Guests from across the Commonwealth.
Why have you said if Matt chooses to get married? What if I choose to get married? Thanks assuming nobody would want to marry me.
As I used to always say, yeah, first you've got to get someone of the opposite sex to talk to you, which I have done. And you are still sitting over there. Have you ever even spoken to a dude?
No. Shut up.
Yeah.
He's always 3 steps ahead of you.
He's always 3 steps ahead. All right, no, well played, well played.
Jess, have you
as
also...
As I always used to say, what... you know when you say some bullshit to help you get enough time to think of the thing that you've stopped a conversation so you can say something? Look, as I always... as my papa always said to me, first... Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, if anyone wants to get married, and I support both sexes, all sexes getting married, I just wanted to say this. If anyone wants to get married, I've got a plan for you. And Elizabeth pioneered this in the 50s. Actually, it's not even her wedding anymore, is it? It's Matt, if you ever want to become king and you want to pay for the ceremony...
That changes everything.
I've got a plan for you. Guests from across... The Commonwealth.
That
you
does
can do
really
it for a wedding
well,
as well.
It
does, yeah.
Guests from across the Commonwealth were invited, and those lucky enough to be seated on stools were able to purchase theirs following the ceremony and take them home, with the profits going towards the cost of the coronation. So you have a wedding or an event or anything, even at the Comedy Festival this year, sell your tickets, and then at the end of the show, sell the seats so people have something to remember you
the
by.
The seats aren't mine to begin with.
Who gives a fuck?
Sell them anyway.
Sell them.
Wait, so was this the wedding or the coronation?
That's the coronation. Okay. But it can be applied to any event. I'm a mogul. Now, Matt, I've obviously been doing a lot of praise over here, trying to make you like Queen Elizabeth II, but I've got a bit of negative now, try and balance out my thing.
Yeah, because I'm on board at this stage.
She's been around forever, but she is arguably the least successful queen in the kingdom's history, as during her time on the throne, 16 countries have left the Commonwealth realm.
No, I don't think that's her
fault. So, Fiji, gone. Gambia, gone. Ghana, Kenya, gone. Malta, Pakistan, gone. Trinidad and Tobago, I hear you say, gone. And that's just to name a few. Most of this happening in the 70s and 80s.
I don't think that's because of her. I think that's just the world changing, man.
No, it's fine. It totally is.
It's the world changing. And she's been there for so long. All her ancestors died so early because they all married their cousins and they were missing bits. And so they didn't have very long reign. So how could they be that successful? But she's been doing it for 50 years. She's the best. Shut up.
She's pretty good. And she is the queen of 16 countries still that
still
are referred to.
Still pretty good. As Commonwealth realms. Matt, how many countries are you the queen of?
Matt?
None,
exactly.
But she has lost half her realms.
But she... Hey. They're not... They didn't. Did they leave the Commonwealth, though? Or did they just leave...
So now they're all like republics and things like that, yeah.
But they
can
still be in the Commonwealth,
They can still be in the Commonwealth Games and things like this.
And the Commonwealth.
They're no longer Commonwealth realms.
What's the Commonwealth Games, then? You don't have to be in the Commonwealth to be in the Commonwealth Games.
Well, no, because so many left that if it was just us... Who's left now would be a pretty shitty.
Well, the Commonwealth is just an association of things that were once under.
Yeah, so you stay in the Commonwealth, but you know, but you can be a republic.
But she's no longer the queen.
Like, is Canada still in the? Are they still?
Yeah, they're still part of it. Yeah, still part of it all.
They're
one of her realms.
The Commonwealth Games are great because there's no America, so we actually have a chance.
Or China.
Canada's or Russia. The fill-in America.
Yeah, but they're much. Nicer.
They are much nicer in the way that they don't spend too much money on
guns.
Sport.
Oh, sports, yeah. Ooh, topical.
So then we get to the 70s. In 1977, she celebrated her silver jubilee with 25 years on the throne.
Woo!
Good on her. Then in 1982, a man named Michael Fagan broke into Queen Elizabeth's bedroom in Buckingham Palace.
Oh, my God.
While she was sleeping.
What?
That seems crazy.
So Fagan, broke into Buckingham Palace twice. So on the morning of Friday the 9th of July. Oh, no. So I'll tell you. In 1982, in July, Fagan, who was then a 33-year-old unemployed decorator, he just scaled the palace 4.3 or 14-foot high perimeter wall, which had revolving spikes, barbed wire, all this stuff. He got over that. Then he climbed up a drain pipe. Before wandering into the Queen's bedroom, he'd entered the palace through an unlocked window on the roof, and he spent half an hour eating cheddar cheese and crackers and just wandering around. No one stopped him. He tripped several alarms, but they were faulty, so they weren't working, so no one came to tell him off. He viewed the royal portraits. He rested on the throne for a little bit, just sat down. He entered the post room where Diana, Princess of Wales, had hidden presents from her first son, William. He drank half a bottle of wine before becoming tired and he left.
What?
Then on his second attempt, he came back and alarm sensor detected him, but police thought the alarm was just being faulty and they just silenced it. He wandered the palace corridors again for several minutes before reaching the section where the royal apartments are located. And he broke a glass ashtray, which cut his hand, and then he was still carrying a piece of the glass when he entered the Queen's bedroom. She woke up when he disturbed a curtain and she left the room immediately. And she'd phoned the palace switchboard twice for police, but none came immediately. And Fagan, the guy that broke in, he asked for some cigarettes and apparently a maid brought them to him.
That's great.
Why?
I guess she was just so used to being told what to do. He was like, "Gave me some cigarettes." She's like, "Yes, sir." He's in the queen bedroom, I must say, yeah.
Why hasn't a movie been made about him? That's the best.
It's great.
Do you know what? I've been to Buckingham Palace, right? And it's very big. I don't know how he managed to find her bedroom.
Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it?
Because
it was his second attempt.
Oh, true.
To be fair.
Well, when I was wandering around, like looking at all the exhibition stuff in there, there was a little part of me that thought it'd be really cool if, like, Queen Lizzie was just sort of wandering past on her way to the kitchen to get a cuppa. That'd be cool. And she's wearing like slippers. She's like, "Don't mind me, please."
That'd
enjoy.
Be so good.
That'd be so good.
I will just say that this guy.
That's amazing.
So Fagan's still in the bedroom. And then...
Still? How long ago was this?
That's very good. That is...
Very good. There's
good.
Some of that quick wit.
So he gets escorted out by two policemen and Queen Elizabeth's footman, Paul Wybury, who's nicknamed Big Paul because he's 6'4", and they took him out. But at the time, it was a civil wrong rather than a criminal offence, so he was not charged for trespassing into the Queen's bedroom. It was only 2007 that it became illegal to trespass onto Buckingham Palace.
So before that, he didn't even get in trouble for that.
Well, he went to a psychiatric ward for 6 months, but that was because he was unstable. But yeah, it wasn't technically illegal. But in 1983, Michael Fagan recorded a cover version of the Sex Pistols song "God Save the Queen" with the British punk band The Bollock Brothers. There you go.
No,
he did a guest, folks.
Oh my God.
Because so the first time it sounds like no one ever knew he was there. So yeah, he must have told that story later. So we're going off his memory of it, this unstable man.
Well, they found the empty wine. Well, they actually, when they first arrested him, charged him for the cheese and wine theft.
Right.
But then they dropped that because it's not much of a charge. Because that is illegal, because he did technically steal half a bottle of wine and cheese and crackers.
I also quite like to think when you say charge, they like invoiced him.
Yeah, that was a really expensive Grange.
If you could reimburse us for that cheddar cheese.
Then we jump to the 90s. We're getting through it now.
Cheddar. Oh, yeah.
In a speech on the 24th of November 1992 to mark the 40th anniversary of her accession, Elizabeth called 1992 her Annus Horribilis, which means
bad horrible year.
Yeah. That's right, but it sounds a lot like, if you look at it written down, Anus Horribilis, which is something else. Her sucky year, 1992.
That's a bad butthole.
Bad butt. Bad butthole.
What? You, sir, have a bad... This... was my worst butthole.
This was my bad butt. Yet. This was my bad butt. But her year
and
sucked.
She's like, you picture her like with her legs up in the air butt. And she's just pointing. She's like, this is my worst butthole. And she's just like got legs up
English
holding
accent,
on what way.
Sorry, more proper.
Worst. This is my horrible anus. And she's like sitting on her throne, legs up. And
in
like
stirrups.
There's a crowd and people are taking photos.
But I'm pretty sure that's...
And then
she yelling at people, take a picture, it'll last longer, so they do.
Yeah. Any of that?
Is that
that worth saying?
Well, I'll tell you, her...
I don't feel like I've said a single thing today that's been worth saying, but...
You continue to speak.
Here we are.
So 1992, she called her Annus Horribilis, because this is what happened in her sucky year. In March, her second son... Prince Andrew and his wife Sarah, you know, Fergie.
Oh, Fergie.
Separated.
Fergalicious.
Her daughter, Princess Anne, divorced Captain Mark Phillips during a state visit to Germany in October. Angry demonstrators threw eggs at her. And in November, a large fire broke out in Windsor Castle. And the monarchy came under increased criticism and public scrutiny. So it was a bad year for old Queenie.
Yeah, and this for their buttholes.
This is my Anus Horribilis.
It was something like that.
Next year, let's have a good one, okay.
Then we cruise past...
Lizzie out.
She drops the mic.
It's a golden mic. We cruise past through the 90s. Diana and Charles divorce. Diana dies, sadly, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Brush over the death of Diana.
Yeah, we'll brush over that.
September 1997.
We all remember where we were.
I was watching the Saints beat Port Adelaide
it's
to finish
the Saints for you.
On top of the ladder. To be seeded first in the 1997 final series.
What a time to be alive. In 1999, Australia, we had a chance to get rid of the Queen, held a national referendum to amend our constitution, become a republic, with a president replacing the Queen. And
El Presidente.
El Presidente. Yeah, we have to have a Spanish president. That's part of the constitution.
Yeah, I'd vote for that.
So pretty much, it was a yes or no vote. Yes, if you want to get rid of the Queen. No, if you want to keep her. The yes campaign was headed by the Australian Republican Movement. Do you know who the chairman
Malcolm
was?
Malcolm Turnbull.
Malcolm Turnbull, that's right. Our current Prime Minister, which I think is going to be super awkward because he'll definitely meet her now he's the Prime Minister.
Wow.
So that should be cool with that.
It was yes or no. The results were close. 45% of voters were for the change to get rid of her, but nearly 55% and the winners were against
Victoria,
the change.
I think,
wow,
was the closest
close.
State at like something like 49-51.
Well, the only state or territory where the majority voted
ACT?
Yes. That's right. See, Matt's an expert on the bits about hating the Queen.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They were the only people, the Australian Capital Territory, of Australia's 148 divisions.
Because it's all politicians there.
Yeah.
Well, it's all well-educated people as well.
All right, well, Jesus.
Because it's all public servants and stuff as well, so it's all highly educated people. And funnily enough, They were all for the Republic. Well, Queensland, on the other hand?
Yeah, they were the lowest.
Shout out to our Queensland fans.
Of Australia's 148 divisions, 42 voted yes, with Melbourne, 70.9% yes, Sydney, 67.8% being the highest yes areas. Melbourne were the most anti-Queen.
Again, in inner city areas, well-educated people. Just saying. It's funny because you know when things like that happen, and they're also like quite progressive normally, those inner city seats, and they get bagged for being highly educated, university educated, latte sipping people, like who gives a shit about it? It's like, wait, are you saying their opinions are invalid because they're well educated and they drink coffee?
That's
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
That we should listen to these people.
Matt, you're the one who spends the time there bagging out the affluentese.
Yeah, now who's coming around?
Yeah,
to the
I thought you were the. That's right. I thought you were the working class man.
Wait,
Dave
I'm not.
And I grew up in the east.
Look, I'm full of contradictions, but I don't know if affluence equals well educated necessarily. Although it often does, I guess. Not always. Anyway, whatever.
Well, the Queen survives, so she's still the Queen of Australia, one of her realms. And in 2002, the Queen celebrated her Golden Jubilee, 50 years on the throne. And 10 years later, most recently in 2012, she celebrated her Diamond Jubilee. Do you remember the celebration, 60 years on the throne?
Oh, yes.
I had songs.
There's a big concert, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there?
Paul
and
McCartney
that's when
would have been
my
there.
Favorite, yeah, Paul McCartney was there. And my favourite bit was Prince Charles making a speech and he calls her Mummy in his speech.
Oh, good. This is like, this is...
That's beautiful.
Because you know what? You know what, Matt? Yeah, they're a monarchy. Yeah, they're the rulers of the country. But you know what else they are? They're a bloody family.
They're
a family.
They're a group
that's right,
of fuckheads living
family.
In a bubble who get to be multimillionaires because we allow them to be.
Yeah, and they still share a really special bond. And he says, like, Your Royal Highness, Mummy. And it's like, aww. Because, you know what? You know what she is? His mum. Because at the end of the day, she's just a regular mum. And grandma, she's got grandkids. She's sure she's got friends. She's just a regular human.
I've
she's
never
a
heard
good old
anything
person.
About friends.
Well, the Queen surpassed her great-great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, to become the longest-lived British monarch in December 2007 and the longest-reigning British monarch 9th of September 2015. She overtook, so now she's the longest ever reigning monarch.
That's pretty good.
Good on her.
Her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. She's got 4 children we talked about, 8 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren suddenly. And we're just going to go through in line to the throne. Do you know who's next up? The order?
Charles.
Charles is number 1.
Then Willie.
William's
then
number 2.
Harry.
No, not Harry. Wouldn't it be
Prince George.
Oh, yeah.
The young
he's got
son.
A, he's got 2 sons then,
number
he?
3.
No, it's George and Charlotte.
Charlotte? And that's a girl.
Then number 4 is...
Harry.
Princess Charlotte, because
oh, yeah,
in
right.
2013
oh,
they passed
yeah.
a law to make it not dependent on gender anymore.
Oh, great.
Which makes more
oh,
sense.
Oh, that is a big step forward. I didn't hear about that.
And that was only in 2013?
Oh, that's because she was only born then.
No, I know, but that's still kind of embarrassing. They hadn't thought of that before then.
It is funny because like all their, well, not all of them, but a lot of the great British monarchs have been ladies, like the current one, who is like totally loved. And I think... A lot of people would say
ladies.
That they're pretty happy as an Australian constitutional monarchy under Queen Elizabeth II. And I think people might have second thoughts under Charles, maybe, because he's a bit of a bumbling weirdo. And then
and then William.
But William, I
like
think,
Will.
Is popular again. So it'll be interesting to see.
We'll see if George and Charlotte turn out all right. And then Prince Harry is after Charlotte.
Can I just say, like, as if I was somewhere, if I was, like, second or third to the throne, right, I'd be like, please don't come to me, please don't get to me, please don't get to me, right? So if I was Charlotte and I found out the year I was born, they were like, oh, that's not fair, let Charlotte have a go, maybe. I'd be like, fuck!
But that's only if her older brother dies, so, I mean, it would be a bit
fingers
of a downer
crossed.
Either way.
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want that responsibility.
No, you just get the sweet life without, yeah, you
yeah.
just...
Yeah. None of the pressure. No. Anyway, I'm sorry, Dave, do go on.
Oh, no, that's fine. Harry, no, I love speculating upon being a prince and a princess. It's
I
what
mean,
a dream of.
Give me the tiaras any day.
Do you think, so Charles, does he get the, he as long as he's alive, he gets first dibs?
Yeah, he's number one.
Right.
First in line.
I don't
he'll
think it's dibs. I don't think he really gets
line.
A choice. I think it's like, it's you or you abdicate. You're like, default.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You can default and then...
And then he could pass it on if he was very senile by that time.
But so even if he was 102, it'd still be him?
Yes.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
But people like, for example, that King Juan Carlos of Spain, he abdicated to give his son a go because he felt he was getting too old. But the Queen has said that she won't do that. But Prince Charles has stepped up and started doing more of her public appearances because obviously she's going to be 90 this year.
I'm 25 and I'm tired.
But you know what will keep you going? How about sweet cash? Her wealth is often speculated upon, but the Sunday Times Rich List for 2015 estimated Queen Elizabeth II's private wealth to be approximately £340 million.
What? That's pretty good.
Making her the 302nd richest person in the UK. The royal collection, which includes thousands of historic works of art, and the famous crown jewels, however, are not owned by the Queen. They're held in a trust, as are her official residences, such as Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle. She doesn't technically own those, but she does have which is a property portfolio valued at £500 million. She does, however, own property including Sandringham Castle and Balmoral Castle.
In Scotland.
Scotland.
And she can't sell the British Crown estate's holdings.
Sure.
So it's estimated the Crown's estate have holdings of nearly £10 billion, with a B. But she's not allowed to be like, sweet, I don't need this anymore, guys. Let's cash it in.
Yeah.
People would notice.
What she does own, though, how would she have purchased that? Like, would she have said to her dad, Daddy, I'd like to get a property in Scotland.
When her mother died, Elizabeth the Queen Mother, it was estimated that she inherited £70 million. So they have a private wealth, definitely. But what blows my mind when I think about people like hers live is she's probably never been to an ATM.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There'd be no point.
Money to her doesn't really matter, does it?
No. Does she ever see money with her face on it? Or does she just go to people like, no, that's what I want, and they go and buy it?
Yeah, surely. You know, she never wears the same outfit twice.
What happens to them all?
I don't know.
She's Salvation Army.
Just a real person. Just a real normal mum.
Just a real person. I never wear the same thing twice.
I've never seen you wear that top before.
I've never seen you wear that before. Or that.
No, you both just never noticed. Yeah, I've never seen that t-shirt, Dave, but that's okay.
Thank you. All right, we're going to end the show as Jess often does with some fun facts.
Yeah, fun facts.
So we're up to modern day now, but in 2012, to coincide with the Diamond Jubilee, a famous building was renamed Elizabeth Tower in her honour. Can you guess which building is in London was renamed Elizabeth Tower?
As in permanently?
Permanently. That's what it's named.
I'm guessing a tower.
Yeah, the Tower of London, which I doubt they would have done that.
Just left that Tower of London.
The Gherkin?
The Gherkin, no.
Don't know.
It is the clock tower of the Palace of Westminster that everyone calls Big Ben.
What?
Wow. Its real name is Elizabeth Tower.
Because Big Ben's the bell, right?
So, yeah, Big Ben is the colloquial name for the largest bell inside
the clock tower.
So, it used to just be called the Clock Tower of the Palace of Westminster, and now it's officially called Elizabeth Tower.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Fun fact.
People might think it's named after a mum.
2012.
I was there, and I was calling it Big Ben like some kind of idiot.
You bloody idiot.
But I think that's just one of those facts that is there just to trip people up. You see it on trivia shows all the time. Yeah. People say, what is Big Ben? And people say it's the clock or the tower. But it basically is, because that's what people say. I don't think anyone's going, let's check out Elizabeth Tower. They're still saying Big Ben, and no one can see the bell.
Yeah.
So it's a bullshit fact, but it's still technically true.
But it's still technically fun, because it's in the fun facts section
of the show. Okay, sorry. No, it's a fun.
That's very fun.
Look, yeah, I feel like maybe you might have felt like that somehow I was having a go at you there when I said that's a load of fucking bull. But I was just joking about.
Yeah, we're having a good time. Just some mates having some fun. Fun facts.
In her time, the Queen has answered approximately 3.5 million items of correspondence.
What?
You can still write a letter to the Queen.
My grandparents have received correspondence from the Queen.
Because they're 100?
No, for their 60th wedding anniversary.
That's right. She sends out telegrams to people that live to be 100 or older in the Commonwealth, or if you celebrate your 60th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. That's lovely that they did.
And my grandpa wants to get to 100 just so he gets a letter from her, but he wants her to still be queen at 100. How old is he now? Charles. He's 90, he's 90, same age as her.
So they've just both got to make 100. I reckon she could. She's looking,
yeah,
she
might, her
she's
mum looking did, good. She?
Yeah, I think so.
She
yeah,
went pretty close.
Over 100, I'm pretty sure.
Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, she died age 101.
Yes.
Nice one. All right.
Nice number.
Queen Elizabeth II, in her first 60 years of reign, the Queen undertook 261 official overseas visits, and she visited 116 countries.
Imagine her passport. Would she have a passport?
Yeah, surely, right. Ooh.
How does she fly? Does she have her own plane? Presumably.
She has her own plane, yeah, for sure.
Still.
She was the first reigning monarch to visit Australia.
So and
on her first visit, it was estimated that 3/4 of the Australian population saw her.
See, that's kind of weird, isn't
that's crazy.
Because, like, wasn't Harry just here? And, like, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, but she was the first ever queen
to
come.
No, I know, but now
so
we don't
like
make
big
as much
deal.
Of
us. And also, there's a lot less people.
Some of it, like, I think Charles studied at Geelong Grammar for a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe
Will
that's
did too.
As well.
Will did as well.
If you ever meet...
Just normal people at Geelong Grammar.
Exactly. If you ever meet the Queen, Matt, according to the official royal website, you should. Men should perform a neck bow from the head only. So a bit of a nod. How are you? How are you, Queen? How are you? How are you?
Mate.
Whilst women should
do a... puckering your lips.
Give her a wink.
A wink and a pucker.
You'll be right.
All right, man.
Take the hat off. Take the cap. Don the hat. Whilst women should do a small curtsy, other people prefer, this is on the website, still quoting, prefer simply to shake hands in the usual way.
Interesting.
On presentation to the Queen, the correct formal address is Your Majesty the first time, and subsequently, Mum. Mum, thank you, Mum.
Mum as in ham, not ma'am as in ham. That's from the King's Speech.
Oh, that's bloody good. You can write a letter to the Queen. You can get some of this correspondence. If you wish to write a formal letter, you can open with Madame and close the letter with this. And I'm
Laters.
Sure, Matt, you'll be writing this. I have the honour to be, Madam, Your Majesty's humble and obedient servant. It then says on the website, you don't have to close your... It, like it says, you don't have to do that.
You know when you say she's written a million letters or whatever? Someone's written it and she's signed it, right? She's not physically gone, Dear Matthew,
thank you
so much for the letter and cookies. Cookies. I don't know what that is.
For a second, I also went, where'd he get the name Matthew? That's your name.
We're going to find out when we turn 100 and get it. She won't be alive when I'm 100, damn it.
She
could be. She's looking great. In her time, the Queen has famously owned over 30 corgis, corgi dogs.
That's a lot of corgis.
In 1933, her father bought home a corgi called Dookie.
Adorable. So cute.
She
Matt,
was in love.
Come on. You love animals. Dookie.
Yeah, come on.
That means
shit.
A piece of shit.
But other corgis have included Sherry, Whiskey, Bushy and Foxy, if you
like
that.
She would still be able to name all of them for you? Probably.
She loves them. But perhaps the most famous corgi was Susan.
I love dogs with human names.
It was given to her on her 18th birthday and from all which future corgis descended. So most of them are related to Susan.
That's nice. Susan. Susan. Don't shit on the carpet, Susan. Matt, you do the voice better.
Susan. Please, get off the rug.
You've lost it.
No more.
You've lost it.
No more shitting on the rug.
Do you reckon she's ever sworn?
Scurry on now.
I reckon she's got a potty mouth, I reckon.
Man.
Fuck me, Philip. The dog has done it again. No, not like that, Philip, please. I don't know I'm all over the shop.
All right, final fact. Final fun fact. In 2012, Queen Elizabeth II's corgis, Monty, Willow and Holly, appeared during the brief James Bond sketch when Daniel Craig arrived at Buckingham Palace for the mission to take the Queen to the 2012 Olympics opening ceremony. Do you remember that video? So Daniel Craig
the best thing that ever happened.
Really?
Daniel Craig pretends to be James Bond. He escorts the Queen and her dogs are in the background, three of them. And then they have a video that looks like she and him parachute out of the plane together into the stadium.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's like a skydiver dresses the Queen, which is great. But this is the fun fact. Monty, who had previously belonged to the Queen Mother, died in September 2012. But Monty had been named for the horse whisperer and friend of the Queen, Monty Roberts. Monty Roberts, the horse whisperer. It's all come full circle, horse whispering.
And Olympics.
And Olympics. It all comes together. So he's named after the horse whisperer, and he was part of the Olympics.
That is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Corky, but that was a really cool part of the Olympics opening ceremony. So it was like a video that played on the screen of James Bond going into her office, and she's just sitting there writing, and he sort of waits there for a bit, and then he does like an awkward like... And then she gets up and she's like, all right. And they walk through the corridors and they get into the helicopter, and then the helicopter flies off and it flies over London. And then an actual helicopter appears above the stadium and two people jump out of it wearing the outfit. And then the Queen, that's when the Queen arrives. Like, she pretends that she plays along with it. What a legend.
Sounds like she's a real good sport.
Yep.
She sounds like a very normal person.
Yeah, that's what we're really ultimately getting out of this.
After everything she's done with us, done for us.
She's just so down to earth. Us.
Yeah, you know, just had everyone's money, lived an easy life. You know, after all she's done for us.
All right, Matt, time has come for you then. I think that you are leaning towards keeping the Queen, if you can choose. I'll ask Jess first. Given the vote, would you keep Queen Elizabeth II as our monarch?
Honestly, I don't really understand what would happen if we became a republic.
We just have a president.
Yeah, so like
as well as a prime minister.
I don't even know if we'd necessarily have a president. We'd just have an Australian head of state. So it'd probably still be called the Governor General, I think. But it depends. There could be. I mean, there's lots of different ways it could be. But I think that's the official way that.
So the wording of the change in 1999 was to alter the constitution to establish the Commonwealth of Australia as a republic, with a Queen and Governor General being replaced by a president appointed by 2/3 majority of the members of the Commonwealth Parliament.
So So John Howard was really smart. He knew that the Republic was by far more popular than the monarchy at the time. So he chose the way he allowed the vote as Prime Minister, which was kind of up to him, but there was pressure on to do it. But the only way to get it in was to have an unpopular system, which was having a president that was chosen by the parliament.
Yeah.
So he knew that that was going to be unpopular. So the people who wanted a republic still voted no. Some did.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we'll wait until we can do it the way we want to do it.
Yeah.
And others just want to no. And that's what pushed the no's.
Interesting.
Over the line. Now, the current head of the Republican movement is Fitzsimons. Peter Fitzsimons. Fitzsimons. And I think the official... I think the system that they would go with, or what he favours or they favour at the moment, would be pretty much not changing anything. It's a symbolic thing. Nothing would change apart from the head of state would now be an Australian. So basically, instead of the Governor General asking for the rubber stamp from the Queen, he wouldn't have to. He's the one who gives the rubber stamp. So it really, it's entirely symbolic. You would not feel any change.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be any different.
So it's not, it just means that, I mean, to me it is bizarre that we still have an English-born royal as basically, like literally, our king or queen.
Yeah.
That's the main reason.
Then they changed the flag.
Wouldn't have to, but probably would. Because I'd be happy to change the flag as well. What a boring fucking flag. Looks like the same flag as every other country in the Commonwealth.
I don't particularly like the options they give us, though, when people try to make
Yeah, no, that's the trouble with it.
For the sake of argument, I would just say keep it as it is. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I would like to pledge my royal official allegiance to Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah!
What a lady. Keep going. Another 60 years, I can see her up the top.
Come on, Lizzie.
It's going to happen, you guys. It will happen one day.
All right, there you go. 2-1.
2-1, Matt. I'm afraid you are out. All right, so that's Queen Elizabeth II. 2 yeses, 1 no. Matt will be probably...
But mine was a strong yes.
Okay. And mine was a fairly weak no.
Oh, yes for the Republic, and we're a 2 no's. So you'll probably be taken out the back and have your head chopped off secretly tonight.
Mine was a very weak no.
Queen Elizabeth II's Corgi Militia.
She's got a Corgi Militia. You got to know these things.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. And if you are from overseas where none of this affects you at all, thanks for putting up with that. If you're an American or... you're probably American.
They have a little day called Independence Day, and they fucking got it done a few years ago.
It was a great film, yeah.
It's great, that's right. And they're doing a sequel, so thank God for that.
Thank God.
It's a sequel to Independence Day. There's something
thank
for everyone out there.
Queen for that.
Thank you. God bless the Queen. I pledge my humble allegiance to be her servant. If you had a good time on the show or listening to the show, you can let us know by tweeting us at DoGoOnPod. Whenever we get a tweet, it bloody lights up our day, doesn't it, guys?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Bloody big time.
And our phones, mainly. It just
lights
it's
up
notification,
it's a notification
phones, yeah.
On three different mobiles. Imagine that. So send us a tweet, review the show, all that kind of stuff. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a report, Matt.
Yes. Yeah, looking forward to doing that. It is me next. Bloody hell. All right. Hey, if you have any ideas for what I should do, feel free to tweet in at DoGoOnPod. I'd love to get some fresh ideas, because at the moment mine's going to be about the Republican movement. I think that could get a bit tedious.
I think it totally could. I think it could. Well, thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
Hey team, Dave here, just quickly dropping you a line at the end of the show to tell you that it is coming up to comedy festival season across Australia, so if you want to come and see us do some comedy live, now is the time to listen. First off on the calendar is Perth for the Fringe World Festival. I'm coming over in February to do my comedy quiz show, Facty Fact versus the Audience. Pretty much it's a comedy quiz show where three comedians are asked very silly questions, and they compete against the audience. You guys get to answer the questions as well. It's a lot of fun, and I'm doing it at Noodle Palace in Northbridge, and I'm also doing some shows out at the Midland Junction Arts Centre out at Midland. All these shows are on between February the 4th and the 13th, and if you're interested, you can check out fringeworld.com.au. You type in Facty Fact, and the show comes up. So that is it for me now. All three of us are doing separate shows at the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the end of March and in April, but we'll tell you about that a little later. Thanks so much. I promised myself that I'd use this show for good and not evil, so I really, really hope that the show will be good and not evil. So thanks so much for listening. I'll see you guys next week. Bye. I love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.